So we're going to read a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Just read along with me, if you will. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Arbana, Abana, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you left us this testimony and this record of your word. I thank you today, God, for what you've already done in this service, and I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, for showing us how to receive all that you have provided for us in your word. God, I pray for your anointing. Let your anointing rest upon me as your servant. Let your anointing rest upon this congregation as we hear and receive your word in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. I want to talk to you today for just a little bit about the bridge to your blessing. Everybody say the bridge to your blessing. How many would say, if I were to ask you by an uplifted hand, how many actually need a miracle in your life, in your family, your finances, your body? You need a miracle. Some of you don't maybe need a miracle, but you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. There's a difference between a miracle and a breakthrough, but the process is the same. Everybody say a bridge.
A bridge.
So I want to talk to you today about the bridge to your blessing. The bridge is what is between you and your miracle. And let me say it this way. It's the only way you can get from the promise to the promised land. It's the only way you can get from prophecy to fulfillment. It doesn't matter how many prophetic words you've had or even how great those words have been over your life. This bridge is the only thing that can get you there. Everybody say, the bridge. To my miracle. In our text that we read to you today, Naaman was a great man. The Bible says that God had wrought deliverance by him. He was respected. He was honored. His king loved him. His king appreciated him, revered him. God had used Naaman. But the Bible says Naaman had a problem. He had leprosy. Now, it would be appropriate for me to say right here that great men, I mean great men of God even, are not perfect men. Regardless of how strong someone may appear to be, they are still only human. As humans, we have problems. But the good news is, because God tells us, He uses imperfect people. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, that's good news to me. In other words, you or I, we don't have to be perfect or faultless or without weakness or even without shortcomings for God to use us. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul that said, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, that ought to encourage somebody today. Somebody who's been sitting on the sidelines because you're still wrestling with an issue in your flesh, or you're still fighting certain fleshly desires, or you're struggling with a habit. Let me tell you something. You did not have to answer a questionnaire or pass a physical or a spiritual exam to be saved. All you had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I'm so glad that God uses imperfect people to do His perfect will. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, Naaman, he was a great man. He was not only great because he was a great warrior, but he was a great man because he was willing to admit he had a problem. Can I just tell you, it takes a certain amount of greatness in a man or a woman to admit they have a problem. Most people are quick to point out everybody else's problems, but conveniently overlook their own. But there's something else that was great about Naaman. He had learned the art of listening. Oh my, we would grow a lot if we just learned the art of listening. We have the art of speaking down pretty good. How many know God gave us two ears and only one mouth? Because He wanted us to listen twice as much as we speak. But he learned the art of listening. He heard from a little slave girl that there was a prophet in Israel who could help her master. Now let me stop here and say something. I want to talk about this little maid for just a moment. What a wonderful Christian spirit she showed. While most slave girls would have been happy to hear of their captor's illness, she desired his well-being. Think about that. She exemplifies Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5:44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It should have been like a lot of people, even in the church. She would have enjoyed watching her enemies suffer, and she would have called it payback, and she would have said, that's what you get for messing with God's anointed. Amen. But listen, she directed Naaman to the prophet of God. In other words, she knew where the power was. One of the most important things in your life is to know where the power is. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Padded pews and stained glass windows do not add up to power. A 5-pound cross around your neck, a family Bible under your arm does not add up to power. There can be great talent, great skill, great recognition among men, but that still does not add up to power. Too many people are looking for prestige when they should be looking for power. They're looking for position when they should be looking for power. Paul the Apostle said, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Oh, hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Everybody say, you've got to know where the power is. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Naaman does what most of us would have done. He appeals to the king. Naaman assumes that position is power. If there's any power, he assumes, it certainly must be with the king. So he comes to the king with this letter from his own king, and the king interprets Naaman's request to be healed as an effort to start a fight. That's what I read to you. He says, look at this man, he wants to start a fight. Why? Why did the king of Israel interpret this letter from Naaman's king as wanting to start a fight? Let me help you. Because he is powerless to help him. So rather than to admit his impotency, he accuses Naaman of being a troublemaker. You're just a troublemaker. Just because a person has position before men does not mean they have relationship with God. It doesn't mean they have power with God. Religion can never substitute for the reality of relationship. When religion cannot produce, it always shifts the blame. Religious people will never say, "It's my fault. I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm sorry. I haven't been praying and fasting like I should. I'm sorry. It's not God, it's not you, it's me." No, my friend, when religion can't produce, it will always shift the blame. It will say it's your lack of faith. It will say it's your environment. It will say it's just one of those things, only God knows. Or it will probably say something like this, "It's probably just not God's will." The prophet of God sends a message to redirect Naaman. "Send him to me." Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes God has to redirect our faith. Yes, Naaman had faith. He had enough faith to get him moving, but it was misguided. He assumed that power was with position. He assumed that he who had power with men also had power with God. That's an easy assumption to make. But it's not always true. So Naaman arrives at the prophet's home. The prophet does not meet him personally. But he sends out a messenger. And friend, this is the first blow to Naaman's pride. The messenger tells Naaman, "Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be healed of your leprosy." Naaman's pride takes another hit. "Why do I need to go dip in a dirty mud puddle? I've got big, beautiful, clean rivers where I come from." Why is he angry? I'm going to tell you something. He's angry because he had preconceived ideas of how he would receive his blessing. I think I could preach right there for a little bit. How many of us have preconceived ideas of how we want God to bless us? "Bless me, God, and here's how I want you to do it. Here's who I want you to use. Here's where I want you to send it to. This is the way." "Oh, yes, God. Oh, I want the blessing, Lord, and here's how I want it." Now, we're just like Naaman a lot of times. We're willing to throw out to God what we want him to do. We're willing to show him the places we want him to see. We're quick to let God see those surface issues and the stuff that really doesn't matter anyway. You know, look at Naaman. Naaman is all upset. Why is he upset? He is upset because he comes to the prophet. The prophet don't even come to talk to him personally. He doesn't recognize his position. He sends out a messenger, and then Naaman has got it in his head that this is what he said. He said, "The prophet will come out, he will look at me, he will see the bad place, he will wave his hand." That's what the Bible says. "He will wave his hand over me, and he will heal me, and I will go home with my blessing." And it didn't happen that way. And it made him mad. And so he was willing to show and thrust out the surface stuff, but he didn't want to deal with anything deeper. But can I tell you, God wants to heal your heart. It's the diseases of the heart that are the source of most sickness. It's heart diseases, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, rebellion, pride. Pride was killing Naaman. Everybody say pride is a killer. We know leprosy was in his body, but pride was killing his soul. Before Naaman could be healed of the disease in his flesh, he had to be delivered from the disease of his soul. What good is a lot of money or a new car or a new house or a healthy body if your heart is full of disease? The Bible says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Oh, why do I have to go dip in this dirty, muddy puddle when we've got big, beautiful, clean rivers where I come from. And then finally, here comes the word. Go dip 7 times in that mud puddle. 7 times. 7 means completion, total obedience. Anything less would not be total obedience. Anything less would be disobedience. Anything less than 7 would be disobedience and would disqualify him from the blessing. Now, is it okay if I preach for just a minute? Some of you wondering right now why you haven't got the blessing you desired. You've done something right, but you haven't done it all right. You've gone part of the way, but you haven't gone all the way. You got on the bridge, but you didn't follow it to the end. It won't work. Look at somebody, say it won't work. Say this, say it won't work. Say when God says 7, 6 won't do. Many times we're like Naaman. We're willing to obey God as far as it makes sense to us. We're willing to obey God as long as it doesn't make us look weird or goofy. We're willing to obey God as long as it's convenient, as long as it's comfortable. If you're going to receive the blessing God has for you, my friend, listen. If you're going to receive the blessing God has for you, your miracle, your breakthrough, your healing, your deliverance, it's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost more than money. God requires something from you. It's called obedience. Everybody say obedience. It will cost you your pride. It will cost you your plans, your preconceived ideas. It will cost you your feelings and emotions, because every dip in muddy Jordan was stripping pride from Naaman's heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. One thing I admire about Naaman was he was a finisher. He understood commitment. He understood perseverance. Once he made up his mind to do it, it was total commitment. Can I tell you, friend, that's what we have to have in the church. Men and women who are not just here to get blessed, but we're committed to the work. We're here to see it through. We're faithful. You can count on us. We're going to finish what we start, no matter what the cost, no matter how long it takes, no matter what people might say about us. We are in it to win it. We are in it for the long haul. We are all in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Perseverance wins the prize. God never said everything would be easy. God never said there wouldn't be any rain. God never said you wouldn't have to fight hell sometimes. God never said you would understand it all. He never said you wouldn't be criticized and persecuted. God never said there wouldn't be delays. But perseverance always wins. When God says 7, 6 won't do. 7 is the number of completion. It's the number of maturity. It's the number of harvest. 7, I'm going to give you a revelation. 7 is where man's obedience and God's power intersect. If Naaman were to have stopped at 3, 4, 5, or even 6, nothing would have happened. There would have been no manifestation of the power of God. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. And when you do, oh hallelujah, when you do, your natural, human, finite ability will intersect with the supernatural, infinite power of a miracle-working God, and you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, do it.
Do it.
Take away the stone. This is human ability. This is obedience. Lazarus, come forth. That was supernatural power of God. There is a word from God for every situation in your life. And through your obedience, your faith will intersect with the power of God, and you will see the manifestation of God's power in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm going to do it. Now listen, let me give you some examples. The widow woman, she said, I'm gathering sticks to make a small cake for my son and myself. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. But the prophet says, make me one first and your meal barrel will not be empty and your cruse of oil will not run dry. She obeyed the word of the Lord from the prophet and was sustained through the famine. A widow woman of 1 Kings chapter 4, husband died, left her in debt. The prophet says to her, borrow empty vessels, not a few. Take your little pot of oil, pour into them, setting aside that which is full. She obeyed the word of the Lord through the prophet and went into supernatural multiplication and provision. The wedding of Cana of Galilee, they ran out of wine. The prophet Jesus says, fill the water pots with water. It didn't make any sense to them. It was a difficult job, but they obeyed. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. They obeyed, and their obedience intersected with the power of God, and water became wine. I don't know what miracle you stand in need of today, but I do know this. All you need is a word from God. One word from God can turn that situation around. One word from God can turn it into a miracle. The prophet Ezekiel looked at a valley of dry bones, a hopeless situation, but God gave him a word. He said, prophesy. That was the word of the Lord to Ezekiel. Prophesy. Prophesy upon these bones. He could have cried. Oh, he could have prayed. He could have fasted. He could have sung songs. He could have danced all over the place. Nothing would have happened. But when he obeyed that word, when he began to prophesy, even though it looked impossible, even though it felt ridiculous, even though his natural senses were arguing with him, when he began to prophesy, there was a manifestation of the power of God. Bones began to come together, bone to his bone. Sinew and muscles and skin began to come upon these bones. And finally, the breath of God filled them, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. But he had to do it. He had to obey. Somebody say, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
I dare you
to obey God. I dare you to jump out of the boat and go to Jesus on nothing but a word. I dare you to fill the water pots with water when they're wanting wine. I dare you to prophesy to a hopeless situation. I dare you to take your little pot of oil and start pouring and expect it to multiply until you're out of debt and in the oil business. I dare you to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, one each day for 6 days, and then seven on the seventh day. You say, Pastor, that doesn't even make sense. I can't walk around Jericho. That city doesn't even exist anymore. It's not the physical Jericho. It's the principle of total obedience, and that principle never changes. One time around every day for 6 days, then on the seventh day, seven times around, and then you shout. Oh, that's the Lord of us. I feel an anointing in this house today. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. It would not have mattered. It would not have mattered if they had faithfully, obediently got up every morning, made that journey, took the trip around the walls. Nothing would have happened, and it wouldn't even mattered if they had faithfully, obediently made that trip for 6 days, and even on the seventh day only made 6 trips, because God said 7, and when God says 7, 6 won't do. It was when they made that final lap in total obedience to God, the seventh lap around on the seventh day, oh Rabbi Satabakata, that Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given us the city. And when they shouted, the wall fell down flat. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody say total obedience. Say the bridge. To my miracle is total obedience. I'm talking to somebody today. You're on your final lap around. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're one act of obedience away from a release of God's supernatural miracle working power. Oh!
Oh, hallelujah. Just one act of obedience. Even after their seventh lap, it wasn't until they shouted that the walls fell down. For somebody today, it's one more shout. One more hallelujah. One more praise the Lord. One more thank you, Jesus. One more crazy praise. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody, your miracle is in your dance. Your deliverance, your release is in your dance. The devil's tried to steal your dance because he knows there's deliverance in your dance. Oh, you can sit there if you want to, let the devil rob you of your blessing, or you can dance your way into your miracle. Somebody else, you need to shout. You need to run. You need to break out into a dance. You need to start glorifying God. You say, why do I need to? Why? Because total obedience is the bridge to your blessing. Total obedience will take you from nothing to too much. Oh, come on. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Total obedience will take you into the oil business. Total obedience will take you from lack to more than enough. Total obedience will take you from sickness to health. It will take you from poverty to wealth. It will take you from bondage. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will take you from bondage to liberty. Total obedience is the bridge to your miracle. Somebody say total obedience.
Total obedience.
Total obedience. Total obedience. What is it today that you would allow to cheat you out of your miracle? Naaman the leper was that close to his miracle. But he could have turned around because of his pride and went home and died a leper. What is it that you will let steal your miracle from you? Is it your pride? Is it your fear? Is it what people might think or say about you? Is it your feelings, your emotions, or is it just plain old laziness? Is it lukewarmness and indifference? Closing today, but I go tell you, there's no shortcuts to the power of God. There's no shortcuts to miracles. There's no shortcuts to experiencing breakthrough in your life. Obedience is the bridge to your miracle. Would you stand with me all over the house today? I'm going to tell you something, church. I'm going to tell you something. I can lay hands on you. I can prophesy over you. I can pronounce blessings over you. But to get your miracle, your healing, your breakthrough in your life, you're going to have to cross the bridge called obedience. And I can't do that for you. And nobody else can either. I'm going to tell you, between every miracle, where you stand in your miracle, there is an instruction. And your obedience to that instruction will release the miracle power of God in your life. It could be sowing a seed financially. It could be going and telling somebody that you're sorry. I don't know what it is God will deal with you about, or what He's even dealing with you about right now. But I can tell you this, total obedience is the bridge to your miracle. It's the bridge to that financial breakthrough in your life. It's the bridge to that healing in your body. It's the bridge to that restoration in your family. It's the bridge to whatever you need from God. Total obedience will bring blessing into your life. I had about four or five different messages that were stirring in my spirit today. I felt like God wanted me to kind of just take you by the hand, pretty great, and just kind of escort you across the bridge into your miracle, into your breakthrough, into your deliverance. I believe in the prophetic today, and I believe in prophetic signs. So I want you to grab somebody by the hand today
And I want you to look at them. I want you to say, neighbor, say, neighbor, today we're going to get across this bridge to our miracle. We're going to get across this bridge to our breakthrough. You're not in this by yourself. We're in this together. We're going to get to our miracle today. Because we're going to cross this bridge of total obedience. Of total obedience. When God says seven, six won't do. So I'm not just going to go down six times. I'm going to obey completely. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to stop in the middle of this bridge. I'm going to follow it to the end. Oh, come on, come on. I'm blessing right now. I feel a breakthrough right now. I feel a breakthrough in this house. I feel a supernatural release. Oh, I feel a breakthrough right now. I feel a breakthrough in the anointing. I feel a breaking in the anointing. I feel a breaking. Chains are breaking. Discouragement is breaking. Fear is going in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, for the bridge that you have given us, a bridge, God, that we can get across to our miracle. Woo, hallelujah. God, I thank you, Lord, for their miracles in the house today. There are breakthroughs in the house today. There are miracles, Lord, being released in this house right now. I thank you, God, that there are turnarounds being released. Oh, chains are being broken right now in the name of Jesus. God, I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabbasana, Rabbana, Yosha. Yeah, Yishana, Yoka. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, and I'm almost done, but I remember when I was a little kid, I read some little story. I had some kind of little nursery rhyme book. I don't remember what it was. It was about the three billy goats gruff. And all I really remember about it was there was a bridge, and they wanted to go across it. And there was a troll that didn't want them to go across it. Let me tell you something. It's true. There's a bridge called obedience. And there's trolls that want to keep us from getting to our miracle. They want to keep us from getting to our blessing. And they'll try every way to persuade us to not take that bridge. But today we're stomping down some trolls.
Yes, we are.
I don't care what that troll is. I don't care if it's pride. I don't care. I don't care if it's worrying about what other people say about me or think about me. I don't care if it's some. You know, sometimes listen. Look what almost robbed Naaman. Naaman almost got robbed of his healing because what the prophet asked him to do, he felt like it was beneath him. His servant said to him, if the prophet would have asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Oh, yeah, if it had really pulled on my greatness and recognized my position, but he thought it was beneath him. I'm a soldier. I come with a letter from the king, and you want me to go dip in a mud puddle? It could just be a feeling like it's beneath you. But if God says seven, six won't do. How many would say today, I'm going to cross the bridge?
Amen.
How many would say today, I'm going to kill the trolls? Hallelujah. Now listen, before we go, if there's anyone here that needs prayer today, we want to pray with you.
Yes,
we want to pray with you. If you need prayer, you need agreement today, you need a healing in your body, whatever you need. Brother Greg and Sister Tonya, I do want you to come. We're going to pray a blessing upon them. If they travel, God will protect them and keep them. Anyone else? We want God's provision and God's protection. We don't want their journey just to be to take care of business either. They're on the king's business. Wherever they go, they're on business for the king. And so we want them to experience great success in their journey for the king. Amen. Amen. Sister Carol and Sister Judy, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. And everyone stretch your hands this way today as we believe. Touch the great Father for Brother Greg and Sister Tonya. Lord, they're on the king's business, Lord. And we pray your protection, God, that you go with them. Keep your hand upon them and protect them, God. Give the angels charge over them to keep them in all of their ways. God, give them a prosperous journey, God. Let their words have an impact, Lord God. God, give them opportunities to witness, Lord. Give them opportunities, Lord, to share their faith and to share the goodness of God and this fire that you put in them, God, and this anointing that you place upon their lives, God. Lord, give them a prosperous journey, I pray. God, and heal Brother Greg completely. Restore his body completely in the name of Jesus, we pray. And in the most time I'm there. Thank you, Lord, that you order their steps, Lord. God, and lead them in the process. And you be with them, guide them, Lord, and make their way prosperous. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He's tired. Yeah, I like what Brother Al said. I'm tired of going to the doctor.
Amen.
You know, Jesus is the great physician. You know, when the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, there's no record that she was ever ill again. God can heal you completely. Father, stretch your hands this way. In the name of Jesus, we believe that you are a healing Jesus. Miracles, healing, are our inheritance from the crown of his head to the skull of his feet. And that broken power of his body now. Be healed in Jesus' name. I drive sickness out of his body. Go from his body. Pain, leave his body. Leave his body. She said, up on God. Purify his blood. In the name of Jesus. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me just remind you that we have an evangelist coming next week, Sunday morning, powerful man of God, and we want to be praying, we want to be ready, and also come ready to sow into his ministry. We want to bless the man of God. We want to bless the ministry. We want to bless the gifts that God has put in the body. And we want you to come. You'll be blessed. I love this man. We've been blessed. I'm blessed by him. And he ministers the word, and he ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you want to come and be blessed. We thank God for it. Does anyone else need prayer? If not, we're going to be dismissed. Okay?
Praise God.
All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. To thank you for this day. Thank you today, Lord, that we've killed trolls in this house today, God. We're going to cross the bridge of total obedience to our miracles, our blessings, our breakthroughs, Lord. We thank you, God, for your presence in this house today. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Go with us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Bless your people. Order their steps in Jesus' name. Amen. 5:00 tonight, we start again. Hallelujah. Revival in the house.